This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. So name the world's largest oil producers. I bet Saudi Arabia is at the top of your list. You would be wrong. So then what about Iraq and Iran? Fourth and seventh. Saudi Arabia is number two, folks. Russia is number one, and we will have something to say later in the program about how concern over Russian energy may be driving some of the recent unrest in Ukraine. But the number three oil producer in the world is the U.S. of A., with Canada at sixth. Together, they beat Russia by a wide margin in oil production. Well, you think about that for a moment. We will also be talking this hour about the mysteries of stolen violins. Their sonic beauty makes them impossible to resist and impossible to sell on the black market. And we remember a civil rights march in 1966 that forced the African-American community to confront some serious political differences, differences that can be heard echoed today. But we begin with the number one oil producer in the world, North America. It's trying to connect the vast tar sands of Alberta, Canada, with a pipeline system in Oklahoma that would vastly increase the amount of domestic crude available for refining in the United States. The Keystone XL pipeline, a target of the environmental movement trying to curb carbon emissions, and a symbol of North American energy independence for its advocates. Last week, the State Department released an environmental review of the pipeline and found that it would have little impact on greenhouse gas emissions. So House Speaker Republican John Boehner backs the pipeline project.
You think the Keystone Pipeline is complex? It's been under study for 5 years. We build pipelines everywhere in America every day. Do you realize there are 200,000 miles of pipelines in the United States? And the only reason that the president's involved in the Keystone Pipeline isn't because it crosses an international boundary. We can build it. There's nothing complex about the Keystone Pipeline. It's time to build it.
We're going to speak now with reporters in places where the pipeline might be built and in places where it is already up and running to see where the debate stands. Mose Bushell is a state impact reporter for KUT in Austin, Texas. Katie Schubert, news director for KIOS in Omaha, Nebraska. And Joe Wirtz is a state impact reporter in Norman, Oklahoma. Welcome, Joe.
How are you doing? Thanks for having me today.
So, Joe, in Steel City, you already have some experience with the pipelines there in Norman, Oklahoma, and you would be basically the connecting point between the Alberta tar sands and where the pipeline enters the pre-existing system in the United States, right?
That's right. The Cushing Oil Hub in Oklahoma is one of the most important oil hubs in this hemisphere and in this part of the United States. And that's right. It's sort of the midway connecting point, connecting the northern leg, the still to be determined outcome leg of the pipeline, and the southern route, which is already obviously completed. So Oklahoma sits right in the middle of this pipeline project.
And statewide, there's a lot of support for this project because pipelines are sort of the lifeline of the Oklahoma economy.
Pipelines are the lifeline of the economy here. It's still the safest way to transport this oil. Oklahoma's got a glut of oil stockpiling in Cushing. Oil producers here and throughout the Mid-Continent would like to see that oil get to refineries in Texas to help make it a better market for their oil. Also, obviously, a lot of Oklahoma companies are drilling in the northern part of the U.S. And would like to see that northern route get approved to help them get their oil to market up there.
Katie Schubert in Omaha, Nebraska. Is there a controversy that's environmentally based in Nebraska, or is it more just a question of the damage a malfunctioning pipeline might do to the rangelands and the aquifers in Nebraska?
Well, there's concern primarily about what it could do to the Nebraska Sandhills region, the environmentally sensitive region, if there were a rupture of the pipeline. TransCanada says they've taken steps to where if something happened, it would be very localized. But there are concerns about that. There are also concerns about eminent domain and people concerned about their land being taken for the pipeline, that they don't necessarily want that to happen.
Mose Bushell, impact reporter for KUT Austin in Texas. The state of Texas has a lot of experience with the pipelines. What do the people of Texas and the folks in Austin make of the controversy over the XL Keystone?
Well, one of the interesting things to remember about the Keystone pipeline down here is that it's actually already running. The leg from where Joe is in Oklahoma and Cushing down to the Gulf just started running. And so while we're not getting a lot of that tar sands oil that's so controversial, we are seeing this pipeline in operation here. I have to echo what we're hearing from Nebraska. There has been a kind of interesting coalition of environmental activists opposing this thing, along with property rights activists, people who were really upset that that this pipeline company, specifically Canadian Pipeline Company, could had the right to take their land to put the pipeline in. And so we've seen a lot of legal challenges around that and a lot of kind of activism on that end of things as well. But it hasn't stopped this from going into operation. And as I said, it's actually currently transporting oil from Oklahoma now.
To all three of you, you know, there are arguments that it takes more energy to produce tar sands oil from places like the Alberta source that would generate the oil if the Keystone XL is actually finally completed. There's also the question of just we're burning too much carbon, and that's sort of the nature of the argument nationally among environmental groups. Does any of that clash with the sort of equally powerful argument that this could provide North American energy independence on some level? Mose, Katie, Joe, why don't you begin, Mose?
Well, you know, there's a big debate about the degree to which this is going to be an export pipeline, and that's what you hear among the two between the two sides. TransCanada is constantly hammering, racing, saying this is not an export pipeline. This is going to provide, you know, bring this crude to be refined in Texas. Of course, after it's refined, where it goes, well, you know, that's what the other side wants to point out. This is perhaps going to be oil refined in the United States, but it may not free us from the international markets. So that is part of the kind of multifaceted debate
right.
that's still going on, even though the pipeline's, like I said, flowing right now in Texas.
A collision of energy politics. Katie Schubert?
Yeah, and we're hearing a lot of the same here in Nebraska. People concerned that even though the oil would be flowing through North America, flowing through much of the plains, that it's not going to be a North American source of energy, source of oil, and people asking why we're not looking at other alternative sources of energy. And then on the other side of it, you have the jobs argument. We hear here in Nebraska about the number of jobs it could create, about the economic impact. So there is very much this discussion, as Mose was talking about in Texas, many of those same things going on here.
Joe Wirtz in Oklahoma, what's the greater value, energy independence or reduction of carbon emissions?
I don't know where the term energy independence, you know, American energy independence was coined, but it might as well have been coined in Oklahoma. It's on every billboard here. It's on, you know, every advertisement for every major energy company here. Oklahoma's companies, Oklahoma's leaders here, and most Oklahomans, frankly, want to see this pipeline finished. Most jobs in Oklahoma, you know, a third by a lot of estimations, are tied to oil and gas. So Oklahoma here is big on drilling, big on pipelines. But certainly the clash is definitely seen here in Oklahoma, probably more pronounced than a lot of places.
The Keystone XL debate from some of the places where that pipeline would actually be laid. Joe Wirtz is a state impact reporter in Norman, Oklahoma. Katie Schubert, news director for KIOS in Omaha, Nebraska. And Mose Bushell, state impact reporter for KUT Austin. Thanks so much to the three of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.